Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome all of you who have come here for worship this day. Today is the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. This first Sunday in October is often celebrated as LWML Sunday. And so we certainly remember this morning the work of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. And we give thanks for all of their efforts in fostering the message of Jesus Christ to the whole world. I share with you just part of the League pledge, because it says, in fervent gratitude for the Savior's dying love and his blood-bought gift of redemption, we dedicate ourselves to him with all that we are and have, and in obedience to his call for workers in the harvest fields, we pledge him our willing service, wherever and whenever he has need of us. And hopefully that holds true for all of us, that we pledge to him all that we are and have, and pray that he might use us in the mission field, which is Ridgeville Corners, Northwest Ohio, the United States, and everywhere around the world, that he might use us to proclaim the love of Jesus Christ to everyone. Let's begin our worship this morning as we sing our opening hymn, number 830, Spread the Reign of God the Lord. Would you please rise? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just,
will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean.
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name.
Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We join together now in the responsive speaking of Psalm 62. For God alone, my soul waits in silence.
From him comes my salvation.
He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress.
I shall not be greatly shaken.
How long will all of you attack a man to batter him?
Like a leaning wall, a tottering fence.
They only plan to thrust him down from his high position.
They take pleasure in falsehood.
They bless with their mouths,
but inwardly they curse.
For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence.
For my hope is from him.
He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress.
I shall not be shaken.
On God rests my salvation and my glory.
My mighty rock, my refuge is God.
Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him.
God is a refuge for us.
Those of low estate are but a breath.
Those of high estate are a delusion.
In the balances they go up.
They are together lighter than a breath.
Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery.
If riches increase, set not your heart on them.
Once God has spoken,
twice have I heard this,
that power belongs to God,
and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love.
For you will render to a man
according to his works.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Worthy is Christ the Lamb, who was slain, whose blood
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our refuge and strength, the author of all godliness, by your grace, hear the prayers of your church. Grant that those things which we ask in faith, we may receive through your bountiful
mercy.
Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord,
who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit,
one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. The Old Testament reading is from Habakkuk chapters 1 and 2. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw: O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, "Write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so that he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end, it will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come, it will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up, it is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith." Here ends. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle, which also is the text for our portion of, is the text for our meditation today, from 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the patterns of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In honor of our Lord Jesus Christ, I invite you to rise for the Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.
Alleluia, Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea, then that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Will any of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and recline at table'? Will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, and dress properly, and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink'? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We join together now in professing our Christian faith as we speak the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead
and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Would you please be seated? This is the portion of the service that's been set aside for the instruction of the children. I'd like to have them come and join me for the children's message. Well, rather than sitting down today, I'm going to start out by standing up. Because I brought with myself, brought here today, can you see what's in this bag? Seeds. You know what kind of seeds those are? Nope. Those are apple seeds. And you plant those, and what happens? It grows into an apple tree. If you take care of it, yep, and the Lord provides the sun and water it, it grows into an apple tree. And apple trees can get pretty big, right? But they're certainly not the biggest trees that there are. And this is why I'm standing today, because I want you to stand up. And I want all of us to join hands. And we form a circle. Now stretch out as far as you can. Now, if we were around a tree that was this big, that'd be a pretty good-sized tree, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, the fact is, out in California, there are trees that are called giant redwoods. And they are so big that it would take 20 of us to make a circle that was big enough to go around that tree. Now those are pretty big, you can sit down, those are pretty big trees. But in our lesson today, Jesus talked about a mustard seed. And you know what? Mustard seeds were about the tiniest seeds. They were a lot smaller than that apple seed that I showed you. And yet he says that they grow into a tree that's big enough that the birds come and make their nests in those trees. And he used that to talk about our faith. When he says, if we would have even as much faith as a grain of mustard seed, that we could do great things for the Lord. Well, the Lord has given us faith, and he strengthens us. And you know what? He enables us to do great things for him. Oh, it may not always be showy. It may not look like a giant redwood, but even just something as simple as sharing our faith in Jesus, telling somebody how much Jesus loves us and how much he loves them. The Lord promises to bless our work and make it grow, just like those seeds grow into giant trees. I said, that's all for this morning. And today we will join in singing the LWML hymn, Serve the Lord with Gladness, to the tune of Onward Christian Soldier.
Glorify his name.
Mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Today's epistle lesson serves as our text, and I'd like to share once again the 8th verse, which says, "So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner." This is our text. Fact is, do not be ashamed. You know, embarrassment comes in many forms. I read about a couple that was greeting newcomers at their church. And so they began exchanging pleasantries with the other couple, a couple that they had never seen before. Well, in the course of the conversation, they happened to describe the friendly neighborhood in which they lived. And then they listened sympathetically as the new couple lamented the fact that their neighborhood wasn't friendly at all. And so, saying their goodbyes, the two couples, they got in their cars and they drove home. And as the first couple approached their house, they were horrified to see that their newfound friends that they had just met in church were pulling into the driveway next to their own. Bragging about their friendly neighborhood to their next door neighbors whom they hadn't even met. Embarrassing. Let me ask you, do you get embarrassed? I mean, we could have fun this morning. We could go around asking each of us to tell the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to us. But don't worry, we're not going to do that for a variety of reasons. But let me ask you a very personal question. Are you embarrassed about your faith? If tomorrow somebody at work asked you what you believe and why you believe it, would you fumble and mumble and hang your head in embarrassment? In our lesson today, an old man is sitting in a prison cell in Rome, and he's writing the last letter that he will ever write. He's writing to a young man who was very special to him, a young man whom he had nurtured in the Christian faith. And he's writing from his heart. And he's more plain-spoken than in earlier letters that he wrote to churches at Rome and Corinth and Philippi, etc. But this letter is to a personal friend, and time is running out. I mean, more than anything else, this older gentleman yearns to see his young protege, who's a pastor serving several hundreds of miles away in Ephesus. But that may not be possible. I mean, travel wasn't as easy in those days as it is today. But just in case they were not able to connect personally, the older man wants to offer his encouragement to his young friend in Christ while there's still time. And he wants to impart what is central to his own life and ministry. And so the first thing that Paul does in his letter to Timothy is to express his gratitude for the kind of person that Timothy is. He affirms him. He says, I am grateful to God when I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. You know, I think this is the kind of a letter that a parent might write to a son or a daughter who is away at college or serving in the military. You know, I just want to say how proud I am of you. And I think that's how love always begins, with a word of encouragement, a word of appreciation, a word of recognition. And so Paul commends Timothy's sincere faith. And he tells him that he prays for him every day. You know, there was a special bond between Paul and Timothy. I mean, Paul knew Timothy's family. He was there at Timothy's ordination. They had traveled together. They had worked together. They had faced opposition together. And Paul knew what Timothy was made of. And so he salutes Timothy. And then he offers Timothy this counsel. And it's good counsel for all of us in our faith walk with the Lord. For he says, don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or about me, his prisoner. It's kind of an interesting phrase, isn't it? Don't be ashamed. I mean, why in this world would this young protege ever be ashamed of Christ or of his good friend Paul? Well, could be because Paul is writing this letter in jail. You know, what if you received a letter from your uncle and it was postmarked the state penitentiary? Might you not be a little bit embarrassed in his behalf? Oh, but maybe you're saying, oh, well, Paul, he was in jail for the right reason. He was in jail for teaching and preaching about Christ. And you know, that's easy for us to say. I mean, Christ has won out over his enemies. It's respectable today to be a Christian. But at the time that Paul was writing, Christianity was merely a tiny sect about whom many vicious rumors were beginning to spread. I mean, many people saw the early Christians as a threat to the religious and the political status quo. And so Christians were regarded as somewhat kooky, subversive, fanatical. And so St. Paul says to him, don't be embarrassed to call yourself a Christian. And maybe there's somebody in this room today who's embarrassed about being a follower of Christ. Maybe you'd prefer to keep your spiritual orientation a secret. Maybe at your work, maybe among your friends. Maybe you're afraid that somebody's going to think that you're a fanatic. And St. Paul is saying to you, let the world know where you stand and whom you follow. And then Paul states his own position. He writes, I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust. And I'm sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Paul is not ashamed. He's not embarrassed. Why? Because he knows the one in whom he's put his trust. He knows that he's found his vocation, his sacred calling. And he knows that he has the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. First of all, Paul says he knows the one in whom he's put his trust. I mean, faith is no intellectual exercise with St. Paul. It's no empty ritual. I mean, he's been through a whole lot in his life. There have been beatings and shipwrecks and imprisonment. But each step, Christ has been with him. And he's grown stronger the more his faith has been tested. And he is a person of unusual courage and valor. And that's because each time that he has been tested, he has encountered Christ in that experience. And so his courage and his confidence have continued to grow. I mean, it's very difficult to change our basic personalities. But the truth is that the more Christ is alive in your life, the more he can give you the courage and the confidence that you need to do astounding things, like that faith the size of a mustard seed. You see, St. Paul knew in whom he trusted. And secondly, St. Paul had found his vocation. He writes, "Hold to that standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me." St. Paul was a teacher of the faith. And that's why he wrote to Timothy so freely. He had played a part in Timothy's spiritual development. He was Timothy's mentor, and he had some pretty sound reasons for feeling good about their relationship. Now I'm going to tell you right now, finding your vocation doesn't mean that you have to give your life full time in order to serve the Lord and to serve the church. The fact is that God has gifted each and every one of us in different ways. And there are many vocations. It's a question of using the talents and the skills and the abilities that have been given to us. I'm going to tell you about an article that was in Smithsonian Magazine about a guy who is an expert on skunks. Now, Jerry Dragoo was a professor of biology at the University of New Mexico, and he is an expert on that subject of skunks. He had even started a society called the Dragoo Institute for the Betterment of Skunks and Skunk Reputations. Well, unlike every other mammal, Jerry doesn't run in the opposite direction if an angry skunk lifts his tail at him. Because you see, Jerry Dragoo had no sense of smell. He didn't even know that skunks emitted an odor until he asked his college classmates why they were always shunning him. And that lack of the ability to smell made him fearless in his pursuit of skunks. You see, what some would view as a disability made him outstanding in his field. You and I, each of us has been gifted in different ways. God has given each of us a vocation. He's given each of us a calling. See, St. Paul, he knows the one in whom he believes, and he found his calling. And finally, St. Paul says that he has that inner testimony of the Holy Spirit. And so he writes, "Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us." You know, Paul knows that he's not alone. There's that inner witness that Christ promised to his disciples. I'd like to tell you about Cheryl Stevens, who was a young mother struggling with cancer, and yet she determined to continue ministering to others. I mean, Cheryl went home a number of years ago at the age of 44. But she lived out Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And this was a poem that she wrote long before her bout with cancer. She says, remember me not for who I was, but for who Jesus was in me. Remember me not for the things that I've done, but for the things that Jesus did through me. Remember me not as one who loved, without remembering that he first loved me. Remember me not as one who gave, but one to whom much was given. Remember me not as one who spoke of God, but as one who knew God through his Son, Jesus. Remember me not as one who prayed, but remember the one to whom I prayed. Remember me not as one who was strong, but as one who cried out to God to give me my strength, to be my strength. Remember me not as one who died, but as one who lives forever, because I have believed. Remember not my life and death, for they will profit you nothing. But please, remember the life and death of Jesus, for he gave his life that we might live. He died that we might never have to, and rose again that we might have eternal life. Remember not me, but do remember Jesus. And so St. Paul says to Timothy and to us, don't be embarrassed. Have courage. Have confidence. Know the one in whom you believe. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it keep our hearts and minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Watch
in peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who bear witness to Christ, that God, who has given them a spirit not of fear, but of power and self-control, would bless them with winsomeness and wisdom to speak his word in faith and love to all who will hear. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For pastors, whom God has called to be a holy calling, that he would embolden them in their testimony concerning our Lord Jesus, and strengthen them by his power to suffer courageously for the gospel, and guard the good deposit entrusted to them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all Christian homes, that husbands and wives may love and forgive each other, that parents may be faithful examples to their children, and that orphans may know the joy of a home, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For for those who exercise authority over us, who order us according to our laws, who execute justice and defend us against our enemies, our president, Congress, governor, legislature, and all who make, administer, and judge our laws. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who are suffering from the effects of sin in their bodies or minds, especially, gracious God, we raise up in our prayers Linda and Don and Alice, Margaret and Bernetta, Bill and Gary, Bryston and Kim, Andrew and Michelle, Brandy, Heather, Gary and Michael, Ray and Chelsea, Norma and Ron, Tom and Vicky, Jema and Brenda, Judy and Joni. And gracious God, we also remember in our prayers the families of Joe Schrader and Joe DeFilippo. Gracious Lord, in your mercy, you have called them to eternal rest with you. And Lord, as they rejoice in your presence, we pray that you would be with those whom they leave behind, strengthening them, upholding them, lifting them up with that sure promise of resurrection and life eternal that comes through Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, we pray for strength and faith through God's word and hearts prepared to faithfully receive the divine gift which brings the immortal body and blood of Jesus to our very lips. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For strength against temptation, that God would guard our steps, that in our weakness, in our liberty, we do not cause others to sin. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Gracious and loving God, at this time we also remember the Lutheran Women's Missionary League and the work of that all of us have been called to be witnesses to Christ Jesus our Lord. Our Lord said, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole generation." And we hear that call to mission. And along with the prophet, we would respond, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And together we say, "Here am I, Lord, send me. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." We are sent and equipped with the message of hope. "Here am I, Lord, send me." But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. We are empowered to testify of God's greatness. And so we say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We are called to the fields ripe for the harvest. And so we say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We were sent to disciple and baptize, and so we say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And now we continue with the prayers. O mighty and everlasting God, deliver us from temptation and the powers of evil, that we may be faithful unto death and receive from your hand the crown of everlasting life. Whether we live or die, we belong to you. Comfort us with this promise, that we may join the company of the saints on your appointed day and enter into the heavenly places to worship at your throne on high. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and light, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross.
Amen.
Amen. And so we join now in praying. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. The body of Christ given for you. And now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, may it strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Thank the Lord and sing his praise. Tell everyone.
us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Take with you now the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated. We will join in singing the closing hymn, number 832, Jesus Shall Reign.